and walking this week to try to strengthen my legs, and they're a little bit sore when I get to try to walk this morning. I'm not walking too well, but hopefully it's going to help things and make it where I can get around a little better. At least I'm trying. Good morning to everybody. Back some few months ago, back about April, I guess it was, the elders in the church at Parkway, where I've ministered for about some 16 years now, were in the process of adding other elders to the group, and they asked me about preaching a lesson on the eldership. And so I got a lesson together and preached on the eldership and had several favorable comments on that lesson. And so I thought I'd use that lesson here today and help all of us to understand a little bit more about elders and what their role is and what our role is toward them and how that we're to be obedient to them or to listen to their rule or to be willing to follow the rule and to help them to make the decisions that are right in the sight of God. Today I want to do this maybe a little bit different to what you have heard it done before. Now, if you're expecting something new, then you're going to be disappointed, because what I'm preaching to you today was preached some 2,000 years ago, and still preaching the same thing today that was being taught then is still just as new and just as modern today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was delivered, and it'll still do the same thing. It still has the same power to save the souls of man. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And I believe that with all of my heart. Today we're talking about elders as leaders and are comparing them to shepherds. Now this is, you might say, a type of a parable maybe as we're doing this. But the New Testament teaches that each church should be overseen by elders. This was God's plan, that each church was to be overseen by elders. These elders were to be shepherds. They were to watch after the flock and to treat the flock just like God would himself. On the return leg of the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, "So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And so we can see from the very beginning that this was God's plan, that each church was to have elders. Earlier, they had delivered relief funds raised by the brethren at Antioch. You remember how that there were prophets that came down and said that there was to be a great famine. And so every man, according as he, to his own ability, he began to give for this cause. And by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, this bounty was delivered unto the elders in Judea at this time of famine. And so this shows there were elders there in Judea at that particular time. Acts chapter 11 and verse 30 says, they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So this bounty was gathered together for the needy saints, and it was delivered by Barnabas and Saul to the elders to be distributed as the need was. Titus was left in Crete for this purpose also, we're told in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." So we can see from this that elders was the normal thing. This was what God intended. James assumes, it seems, in James chapter 5 and verse 14, James assumes that every church has elders, because he said that if there are any sick, let them call for the elders of the church. James 5 and verse 14, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And so the things that we see in all of these passages in Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 11, Titus 1, and James chapter 5 shows us that there was elders in the church in the early days. So this was what God intended for there to be. Now, in the idea of elders, there are various words or various names that are used, and I say to you that these names identify the work that these elders were to do. Now, this, as we talk about the eldership, it is a work. It's not a mere figurehead or position or some kind of honor society. even though if an elder works in the way that he should and performs in the way that he should, then Peter promises that he'll receive a crown of life whenever the true shepherd comes, which is Jesus Christ. But I want to notice a few of these words. Now, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek word because I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but I'm going to tell you what that word means. The Greek word that is translated elder in the Bible means older or experienced, and that's what it means. We talk about elders of the church, older men that are experienced and able to do things that they need to do. Now, the word that's translated bishop is overseer or superintendent is what that word means. And if you'll think about this now, in each one of these, you can see this as we go through our lesson today. The Greek word that is translated pastor means shepherd or herdsman. And the one that is ruler means a leader. The ensample or example is model or a pattern for the ones to follow. And stewards are managers, caretakers, or administrators. Now, if you think about the meaning of all these words that are used, and each one of these words are used at different places describing the same group of men that are elders of the church of our Lord. And so an elder is an older, experienced person. A bishop is an overseer or superintendent. The pastor is a shepherd or herdsman. And we'll talk more about this in our lesson as we go on. And I think it'll help us to understand more what the elder's position is and what they are to do as elders of the Lord's church. I believe that all of these are covered in the idea of a shepherd and his care for the sheep. Now, we read from Acts chapter 20 a while ago. I'm going to read now from John chapter 10. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 10, I want to read verses 11 through 16 of this, and this will explain a little bit more what we're talking about. Reading from verse 11, beginning in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and he flees. He leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now we want to take these two passages, the one that was read in our hearing from Acts chapter 20, where Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when he said to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 20, and we'll read a couple of those verses again as we begin our lesson this morning. Acts 20. We began with verse 25, but let's go down to verse 28. This is where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves or savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that for three years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So here was the admonition of Paul to the Ephesian elders to take heed, therefore, to themselves and also to the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers. So the Holy Spirit is what makes us overseers of this flock. And this is what God wanted. And when we do what God has said for us to do, then we are appointed by God in this office. A shepherd is literally one who feeds. So if we talk about the shepherd of God, then we're talking about one who literally feeds. And if you go back, you'll see that that's what the shepherd did back in the days of old that we're comparing the elders to today. He is a pastor. The Bible times, in Bible times, the typical shepherd tended to his own flock, or he designated the work to a son or a relative. And the reason for this was he had a strict interest in the sheep because he owned them, and nothing was too great for his sheep. He was motivated to work and to see that these were taken care of because they belonged to him. No sacrifice was too great for his sheep. He sheltered them when they were cold. He stretched out for them. He searched for them when they were lost and bound them up when they were hurt or had a broken leg or something of this nature. And when there was young ones who seemed to be weak, he would take them and literally spoon feed them until they were old enough and strong enough to mingle in with the rest of the flock. With his dog and his staff, he protected them from wolves, which were always crouching just outside of where the sheep were feeding. And most of the shepherd's time was spent feeding and watering the flock. He was the shepherd, the feeder. The shepherd's continual duty was to feed and water, and to feed and water. And when that duty was done, then he would water and feed himself. He didn't feed himself first, but his came later. The sheep was important unto him. Now, we are God's flock. We are God's sheep. We are important to him, and the shepherds that he has appointed over us are important to him, and the work that they do is important to him, and it's important to us. It's important to the church as to whether it grows and does as it should. God has always looked at his people as sheep. Now notice this. He cares for them with the tenderness of a shepherd who gathers the lambs in his arms and gently leads those who are with young. Now go back with me to the Old Testament, to a prophecy. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. It says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Does that show that the care that God has for his people and what he expects the shepherds to do? God has always considered those in position of leadership over his sheep as shepherds. So the elders are the ones who are in leadership over the flock. So God considers them as shepherds. Overseers of the Lord's church are shepherds. They are the elders or bishops or pastors, as we might say. Now, sometimes the word pastor is used to indicate a preacher, but that's not what the word pastor means. As we're seeing here, the pastor means one who is a shepherd, a feeder, and so forth. Now, the position, the overseers of the Lord's church are shepherds, and their positions are their responsibilities are put clearly in focus in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's notice together. Verses 1 through 4, as Peter says and addresses the people there. He says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now this shows what God expects then of his shepherds today. Peter reminds the elders to shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Now this is another thing that we need to realize, that when we are appointed as elders over a congregation, we have rule only over that congregation, not over some other congregation, but only that one that we are a part of. For those who discharge their responsibility and do their responsibility well, Peter then extends God's promise to them of an unfading crown of glory that fades not away when this good shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, appears. On the other hand, God is against shepherds who do not feed the flock. So here we see where God is for those who do feed the flock, and they will receive a crown of life. But to those who do not feed it well, then he has admonition for them as well. Turn back now to the Old Testament again. in Ezekiel this time, Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, and we'll begin reading with verse 8 and read down through verse 10. The Lord says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherd. I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may no longer be food for them." So God is against the shepherd who does not oversee the flock and do the will of God in the way that he should. His word against the negligent shepherds in Ezekiel's day were unmistakable. If we back up just a verse or two, back up to verse 4, and notice what he says in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4. He says, "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." So if we go back and notice all these things that were mentioned here in this one verse, he says, "The weak you have not strengthened." So here's one of the responsibilities of trying to help the weak to be stronger, to make them stronger. "Nor have you healed those that were sick." Whatever we can do during sickness to relieve that sickness or to help relieve the pain that someone may have. "Nor have you bound up the broken," someone that's crippled or hurt in some way that needs bandaging up. They've not done this. "Nor brought back what was driven away." We know that sometime there would be, as we said, the wolves or something that would drive sheep away, or one would wander off and be lost. "Nor have you sought those that were lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." God was not pleased with this type of operation. To each elder today, the obligation of a shepherd over God's flock should be clear. What is necessary for each to distinguish his obligation is equally clear. He can do so only in the personal relationship which he may have with each member of his flock. You've got to know the flock. Jesus said, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am known of mine." And so a shepherd has to know his flock in order to be able to do the job that God expects him to do with his sheep. An elder of the Lord's church must be concerned for each individual member in his care. Ever how many members you may have, whether it be 10 or whether it be 150, each member needs to be known and cared for individually, not just as a group, but individually. Just as a shepherd on the hillside of Judah searches for and cradles a single lost lamb against the ravaging cold night, an elder of the Lord's church must be concerned with each individual member in his care. Whatever the needs may be for that individual, we need to realize that. That kind of concern is not possible without love. The sacrificial love, which demands time, and there's much time that's spent in this. A lot of times we don't see the time that's spent with elders. All we see is, well, they meet once a month or whatever for a few minutes to talk about the work of the church. But you don't see the sleepless nights that they spend at night tossing and tumbling in bed trying to figure out how to cure a problem that's there or to solve a problem that may be among the flock. You don't see all the texts that are sent. You don't see all the phone calls that are made and all of this type of thing trying to figure out these things. When I was in Somerset, Kentucky, preached at Bourne Avenue, Brother Paul Dunn was a member of the church there. He was also an elder. I was serving as elder too. He was the superintendent of the meat department at Winn-Dixie, and he was off on Tuesdays. Well, on Monday nights when he got home from work, I usually had everything ready, and he and I would go fishing. A lot of times we'd fish all night long. And most of the conversation that we had while we were out there fishing were church problems and how do you solve those problems and what do we need to do to take care of problems here. So the elders that you see in a meeting for a few minutes here, that's not the time that they spend. The time they spend is at home and concerned with problems that the church may have that other people are not even thinking about. So this kind of concern can only be taken care of with true love, the sacrificial love that demands time. Not the kind of time and concern expected of a hireling. And we read this from John chapter 10 a while ago, how a hireling does not care for the sheep. He sees the wolf come, then he flees, and because he don't care for the sheep. But that which distinguishes a son or an owner of the sheep. Now this was a distinguishing thing in the where we read from John chapter 10. The owner, or the one that's a son of the owner, they care for the sheep and they give their lives even for the sheep. Where a hireling, if he sees danger come, he flees because the sheep does not belong to him. He doesn't really care for them. The shepherd must care for each one of the sheep. Much of the elder's feeding and watering will be accomplished when he opens to the flock the good pastures and cool streams of God's word. When we open the Bible, we begin to read and study from God's word. This is where we're encouraged. This is where we learn what we're to do. This is where we have the strength to face whatever problems that we may face, and with the help of the elders that have been selected for the group. But some of the lambs require individual attention, and most of the time this is true in each congregation. You may have some that requires individual attention. There are many in the flock who are spiritually undernourished. They need spiritual nourishment. They need teaching and leading and directing. Some are crippled by sin. Sin has entered into their life and they become crippled by it. And there are some that's a hair's breadth from falling headlong over the edge into Satan's domain. And this is always the case. Now, the question is, will the shepherd act or will he not? The one who is truly committed to the chief shepherd will act. He will do all he can to try to save that person or to help that person in whatever way that he needs help. God's shepherds will be ever watchful for any telltale signs that something is wrong in the life of one of the Father's little ones. And that's what we are. We belong to God. We're his children. We're his little ones. And the shepherd is always looking for any signs that may say, well, there's something wrong in this life. There's something wrong in this marriage. There's something wrong in the faith of this person. It's becoming weaker. There's something we need to do about this. He will be available to listen, and he will be a source of spiritual guidance for those who are groping in weakness. The Lord's church has never had a greater need for godly elders than it does right now. In this time in which we live, there is a great need for men who are godly men who are elders who will serve as the leaders in the church of our Lord. We need men who have prepared themselves to offer spiritual counseling and who are, as Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." These are the kind of men that God wants us as elders to serve as elders of the church. With wise instruction and loving counsel, many members of the Lord's church today could be brought closer to the Lord. There are a lot of people, a lot of members of the church that are not really close to the Lord that could be if with wise instructions and loving counseling and concern, these people could be brought close to the Lord. We need shepherds who will sound a loving alarm when one's faith falters, or when a marriage shows signs of weakening, or faith shows signs of weakening. We need elders who are unafraid to go after the one who strays, or to question the one who may teach something that's contrary to the Word of God. Above all, we need shepherds who will see that each lamb stays on the safe path of righteousness and who will confidently feed us on God's word, even those of the flock who lack interest. You know, sometimes there are those that just seem to be uninterested. They're not really interested in right and wrong. Even those, they need to be counseled by the by those that are good elders. Without such shepherds, God's lambs will seek counsel from the ungodly and will be led to stand in the paths of sinners or to sit in the seat of the scornful. We are the Lord's. We belong to God. We are His sheep, and every one of us are precious in His sight. God wants every one of us to succeed. He wants every one of us to be saved. He wants every one of us to be a true child of His, and that's why He selected and so showed that we're to have elders, shepherds over the flock to help to do that very thing. We are His valuable sheep, bought with the blood of His only begotten Son. What else could be greater than that? Our shepherds must exercise due care in watching over our souls. God expects that of the shepherds. Now, as we said before, the being a shepherd is a work, and it's something that's a hard work. It's not just easy to do. Now, I haven't been here very long, about 4 or 5 months, but I've been here long enough to see and to the elders and to watch them work. So I'm going to evaluate the elders this morning for what it's worth, what I see, and I think you'll agree with what I see. I see in all of these men, the three men that we have here, I see men who are positive, upbeat, who love the Lord and His people. I think that's true of every one of the elders that we have here. As a matter of fact, I made a statement the other day to Kevin. I don't see any reason why that this church ought not to grow. We've got three good men serving as elders, upbeat, positive, thinking men who love the Lord, who love the church, and I don't see any reason why that the church ought not to grow. I added one other thing. I said if you can find a preacher that's also positive and upbeat and not a stick in the mud, then I don't see why the church ought not to grow. So Kevin asked me if I knew where they might find one like that, and I said, no, I don't.
Yeah, we're working on that.
I believe that these men that we're talking about want only what is best for you and for the Lord. I think that's their aim. I think that's their ambition. I believe their desire is to serve God and to see this building filled with people with the same desire. And we've got a lot of empty seats, but I think this building could be filled if we try, if we have the elders like God has said that we need to have, and I think we do have those men like that. You don't always see the long hours, as I said before, that these men spend doing this. And up until about the 9th of September when my wife died, I'd been serving as elder about 40 years, so I know what I'm talking about when I talk about the long hours and the problems that they face, decisions that they have to make that's not easy decisions, decisions that they have to make that some people are not going to like the decision that they make, but the decision must be made by the Word of God, whatever God has said. It doesn't matter what I may think or who it may affect, but it has to be according to God's Word. And we have a lot of problems like that. You have people that's messed up in marriages or something of that nature, and you know that the decision you make is not going to please everybody. There are other things that I just mentioned that as one thing. I remember one case that we had where there was this young man and woman that was married and had two children. And they seemed to be an ideal family, except for the fact he'd been married twice before he married her. And he did not have the right to be married, so they were living in adultery. So how do you tell these people, you're going to have to break up your marriage. You can't live together because you're living in adultery. So whatever decision you make is going to be hard and difficult on somebody to accept. But we have to make the decision that is right in the sight of God and go with that decision. We need to get behind the elders and support them and hold up their hands and when they're doing that which is right, to do what we can to try to help them. And almost every congregation you'll find, there are some that seem to think that they're doing the right thing by objecting to everything that the elders do and grumbling and griping about every decision that's made instead of trying to understand and get behind and do what God would have them to do. We can do one of two things. We can either get behind the elders and accept their judgment, and their judgment being that which is written by God, or we can sit back and grumble and complain and hinder the church from growing, hinder it from being what it ought to be. But let me tell you this. One day, we're going to have to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account for how we accepted this. Did I follow? Did I accept? Did I try to to build the church? Did I try to fill it up or did I try to empty it? I had a man tell me one time, he said, I can empty this church or I can fill it up. Well, you know, that's kind of a little bit thinking a lot of yourself, I guess, to think that. But that's really true. A person can empty a congregation, can empty the church, or it can fill it up. So what is your aim? Is your aim to do what's right and to fill the church? Do you want to see these seats full like I do? Let me hear it. Do you want it? Well, let's get together and try to do that and see what we can do toward filling these seats instead of trying to empty some that's already here. God be with you today, and I trust that this lesson will be of value to every one of us. And we need to do what God has said for us to do and to be pleasing in His sight. And until we do, we will not be blessed for God like we ought to be blessed. The lesson is yours this morning. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ, there's no better time than now to do so. And we give you that opportunity while we stand and sing the song that's been selected as an invitation song. Won't you come?